Yeah, great. All right, please be seated. Sure, it's great to be back from our trip, be back with the family of God. Can't beat it. We met some interesting people along the way, but nobody like you. You guys are the best.
So it's
Yeah, I'm so blessed to see Paula. And, oh, yeah. Bob had a big trip here, Bob McCall from New Zealand and Australia for several weeks. Good to see you back here, sir. So, yeah. I love reading the Bible. Other books that I read and I'm interested in reading is about famous people that did something great, that accomplished things that really affected people in the world. And there's some great men and women that have done magnificent things throughout the history of our world that's made a difference, that have saved thousands of lives because of their efforts and what they did. One that comes to mind, and I can't remember the fellow's name, or there probably was a group of them, that invented penicillin. Back in the day, World War I, going into World War II, people wounded, it was very difficult for them to live because they didn't have anything that would really make a difference in taking care of their wounds. But with penicillin, when that came on, they said that saved millions of lives through history. And so you think about that and are so thankful for people, men and women, that have made a difference throughout history. But there is one man that made so much of a difference that he stands far above any other person in the history of our world, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He's a wonderful man, accomplished a wonderful mission. No greater man has ever lived, and no greater mission has ever been accomplished than that what our Lord and Savior did. To bring about a salvation, a redemption for all mankind. Talk about saving lives. What he did opened the door for man to have a fellowship with God Almighty. And certainly he has saved millions of lives from eternal death and offered eternal life. We're going to look at this man and the work that he did to accomplish such a wonderful deed. You know, as you grow in your love and recognition of the Lord Jesus Christ, one integral aspect of his mission that I think is important for you to know and appreciate is that he was our Passover lamb. Our Passover lamb. You see in this verse here, 5:7, 1 Corinthians 5:7, he is called our Passover lamb. Well, think about that. What does that mean? What is it to be a Passover lamb? You know, you think about great people, and I think about Winston Churchill, fascinating man to study. He was a lion. That's the animal they put on him, that he was a lion. Jesus Christ was a lamb. And he did something that is significant for you and I, in that he was the Passover lamb. So what does that mean, that he was our Passover lamb? And so I'd like to share with you this morning the significance of what it means for Jesus Christ to be our Passover lamb. And I believe this is God's master plan for the all ages to bless man and to give man a salvation and a redemption that he promised in Genesis 3:15. If you remember, man messed up in the beginning, right? But God promised that there would be a redeemer, someone that would pay the price and bring back man to God. And that was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at these two elements, the Passover and the Lamb, okay? So before I do that, I would like to reference with you a wonderful study on this subject. It's a book called Jesus Christ, Our Passover by Dr. Victor Paul Werwolf. I think many of you have this book. I would encourage you to get it out and read through here. This really opens up your understanding of Jesus Christ being our Passover Lamb and what it means to be the Lamb of God and to be the Passover Lamb. In the preface here, he opens up, and Dr. Werwolf says, to understand the significance of Jesus Christ, our Passover, is to come face to face with God's magnificent plan of all ages. Must be a pretty big deal, huh? And it is. And it is. Why a lamb? Let's take a look at that part of it. Why a lamb? Well, a lamb through history has been the most significant animal, most important animal that people appreciated, that they cultivated, they would keep. Lambs taste good. I had some on our trip. Very nutritious. Also, what else does lamb offer us? Wool, clothing. So it was a complete animal. And this was perhaps the most important animal throughout history for people. And so it's interesting that God, from the Old Testament, to share with his people what it would take to redeem them, man, to God, it would take a sacrifice. And of course, the sacrifice would be the Lord Jesus Christ. But until he came on the scene, they sacrificed animals. And the most important animal was the lamb, the sheep. And so God set up all kinds of rules and regulations on how this would be done. And when you read through the Old Testament and look at these different sacrifices, and especially in light of the lamb being sacrificed, you see how important lambs are. And so God calls Jesus Christ, his son, a lamb. And we'll see how significant that is in light of him being the Passover lamb. Okay? So let's take a look at the Passover. What is the Passover? And there's a nice little segment in here that I'm going to read to you that I think explains it very simply on what the Passover was. Let me say this first, just to bring you to the point where I will start in the book here, is that if you remember Moses, God's people got down into Egypt, right? And they were there for many, many, many years, and they became slaves to Pharaoh. And so we needed to get those kids back to the promised land, right? The children of Israel needed to get back to where God wanted them. So how was this going to happen? They were under the rule of the Pharaoh, and they were slaves to him. So how was this going to happen? Well, Moses comes on the scene, and he represents the children of Israel. He talks to the Pharaoh, and he says, hey, you got to let these folks go back. They don't belong to you. They belong to God. What did the Pharaoh say? No doing. Nope. Sorry. You're too much of a good resource here. We're not going to let you go. Well, It took a number of plagues and events to finally get the Pharaoh to let them go. And it was the 10th and final one that made all the difference. So, from page 2 here, in the 10th and final plague, the angel of death, the destroyer, passed through the entire land of Egypt and killed the firstborn of every household, both humans and animals. To provide protection for the angel of death for the children of Israel, God instructed the people of Israel to sprinkle the blood of a sacrificed lamb on the two side posts, side doorpost of the house and on the upper doorpost, called the lintel. The destroyer, upon seeing the blood, had to pass over that home and could not destroy his firstborn. Hence, the sacrificial lamb was called the Passover lamb. In carrying out this commandment from God to use the slain lamb, the children of Israel protected themselves from the destroyer. And so, let's take a look in Exodus chapter 12, and we'll see a little bit more about this. So, chapter 12 in Exodus. What's Exodus mean? Exit out, right? And this is when they were going to, this is the story of them leaving Egypt. So chapter 12, we'll pick it up here. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Okay? The lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now remember some of these time frames here, because we won't see it today. I'm not going to get into the details here. But Jesus Christ, when he sacrificed himself as the Passover lamb, it was the timing was right on to what we're reading here. Amazing. Well, verse 6, and ye shall keep it up. We read that. Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall not let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Wow. You see, it was the blood is very significant because the life is in the blood. We see that in Leviticus 17:11. And we see that in science today too, medically. Life is in the blood. So critical. Let's take a look at Hebrews 9:22 so that we build an understanding and an appreciation of Jesus Christ being our Passover lamb and what that meant and its significance. So in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Okay. Here in verse 22, it says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is what? No remission." There's no remission. So this had to happen. And that's exactly what God had in place with His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pretty amazing. You know, the more you study the Old Testament about the Passover, the more you'll see the significance, the parallels of what Jesus Christ accomplished. Amazing. The Old Testament events were a representation and a preparation of what Christ would do in His being our sacrifice for us. Jesus Christ became the perfect an ultimate Passover lamb, once and for all. Once and for all. He did it. He was perfect. Don't need to do it anymore because He did it for us. We should be so grateful, so thankful of what He did and accomplished for us. You know, I just shared a brief amount of information here about this, but I encourage you to work the scriptures. Look at this book, Jesus Christ Our Passover, and you'll just really thrill to the understanding of what God went through to make available our salvation. Just amazing. I'd like you to look at 2 Corinthians, if you would. Actually, before we go there, let's go to 1 Peter. We need to go to 1 Peter first. Okay. 1:18. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Isn't that amazing? I think that really sets it for us, doesn't it? And finally, let's do take a look at 2 Corinthians 5:15. We're going to close here. And then I'd like to play a song for you after we read this scripture in 2 Corinthians 5. So 2 Corinthians 5:15. It says here, "And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." We have a wonderful responsibility and a privilege to live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, when you see what He did and accomplished for us, why not? I want to follow that man. Of all the people in history, no one accomplished anything that comes close to the greatness of Jesus Christ being our Passover lamb. So we should rejoice and be very grateful and thankful, huh? We just got to keep turning our eyes to Jesus. Yeah.